For those of you who have come to my office over the past year, you know that I didn't have anything on the walls. It was kind of empty, and it was just because of how busy I was. I didn't have time to kind of go into all the boxes at home and get all the pictures out. But finally, I had enough people complain about it and say, you need to make this more colorful. So I made a New Year's resolution that I would open up those boxes that had been stored away in the garage and get some pictures, and I took lots of them out and brought them into my office, and now there's color in there, although we've got to still put it up on the wall. But but one of the things I took out of the box, which I was so happy to see, is Harumi and my Harumi, our ketubah. That is our marriage covenant. And when I took it out, I looked it over, and I just had such joy fill my heart. This year will be 25 years this summer. And thank you. And I was just reminiscing on the day that we made that covenant before the Lord and before the congregation in which we were married. Well, this year, as I mentioned a couple of weeks ago, we're going to be focusing a lot at Tikvat Israel on the subject of covenant relationships, with the goal of our growing stronger in this area as a community and as individuals. And as I shared a couple of weeks ago, our theme scripture for 2013 is a three-stranded cord is not easily broken. One more time. A three-stranded cord is not easily broken. Excellent. So today, I would like to wade into this area of covenant relationships by talking with you about the centrality of covenant. And I have 3 points. Number one, the God of Israel is a covenant-keeping God. Number two, Yeshua is the mitavech. And number three, what is the core of covenant life? Let's begin with number one. The God of Israel is a covenant-keeping God. A number of years ago, I took the metro in D.C., and when I got off the escalator at the station, a person came up to me who was very excited to share the gospel with me, or at least his understanding of the gospel. The person didn't ask if I was already a believer in Yeshua, and he was speaking very fast, so I just listened, trying to put myself in the shoes of a Jewish person who did not believe in Yeshua. I thought it was interesting how this fellow presented the gospel. The way he described it, it was as though Yeshua suddenly appeared in history, as though he was beamed down from up there somewhere as a generic human being. And the impression I got was that Yeshua had nothing to do with Jewish people. He didn't say anything about Israel or Judaism or Jewish people at all. Basically, the person at the metro station jumped from Genesis chapter 3 to John chapter 3, as though nothing in between was relevant for me to know. Of course, it's easy to find fault. Have you ever tried explaining to someone who God is and why they should take the time to get to know Yeshua? Most people find this very difficult. I know I do. First, there is the chutzpah that it takes to open up a conversation with someone about this issue. And then there's the issue of what do you say? The above said, it seems to me that as Messianic Jews and as Messianic Gentiles, We are called to share the Besorah, the good news, in a way that does not skip like a broken record from Genesis chapter 3 to John chapter 3. But we should tell the rest of the story, as Paul Harvey used to say. The full story, the whole Megillah of who God is and what he has done in history, including especially Israel's history. But how can we share all of this in a short conversation? After all, the Bible is a big book with over 1,000 pages. I would like to encourage all of us this morning that one helpful way to share the story in summary form is to focus on the covenants that God made with his people throughout history. We can and we should declare to the world, the God of Israel is a covenant-keeping God. Let's all say that together. The God of Israel is a covenant-keeping God. One more time. The God of Israel is a covenant-keeping God. This is a very important statement. I would encourage all of us to share with others that the God of Israel is a covenant-keeping God, that he made a covenant with Noah. By the way, who here saw David Wein's play where he played Noah? Yeah, he did a great job. I got a real sense there of what Noah must have been like and how God made a covenant with Noah. He made a covenant with Abraham, with the nation of Israel, with David, the king of Israel, and finally, with Israel again in the form of the new covenant, which has brought countless blessings to the nations. By sharing a bissel, that's Yiddish for a little bit, about each of these covenants that God has made, we can share with others a more complete story of who God is and what he has done. You might say that the covenants represent different chapters in the story of God's ongoing relationship with the world. We can view the covenants as representing the framework or the backbone or the plot structure of the biblical narrative. To share about the covenants from beginning to end is, I think, a very messianic Jewish way to share the story of who God is and why everyone should take the time to get to know who Yeshua is. In the coming months, I hope to teach about each of these covenants. But in the meantime, I encourage all of us to study these covenants on our own, and in doing so, to familiarize ourselves with them so that we can tell the good news of Yeshua in a way that reflects the whole Megillah. And this brings us to my second point. Yeshua is the Mitavech. Let's all say Mitavech. Mitavech. Very good. One more time. Mitavech. Mitavech means mediator or the middleman. In today's Torah portion, Bo, we are told about Israel's first Passover and how Hashem brought our people out of the land of Egypt. Over the next few weeks, we will read about how the Lord made a covenant with our people in the desert. Sadly, the scriptures tell us that over the course of centuries, our people violated this covenant. And so Hashem established a new covenant with our people. And he did this through a mitavech, a mediator, a middleman. Who was this mediator, this middleman? It was Yeshua, the Messiah. We are told in Hebrews chapter 9, for this reason, he is the mediator of a new covenant, so that those who are called may receive the promised eternal inheritance. What I want us all to see here is that to follow Yeshua is to enter into a new covenant relationship with Hashem. When we share with others the whole story about who God is and what he has done, when we share about our God who made a covenant with Noah, a covenant with Abraham, a covenant with the nation of Israel, a covenant with David, the king of Israel, and then sent Yeshua to mediate a new covenant, what we are really doing is, in a very messianic Jewish way, inviting people to enter into a new experience of covenant relationship with God. The Besorah, the good news, is really all about welcoming people into covenant relationship with God through Yeshua. Let me say that once again. The Besorah, the gospel, the good news, is really all about welcoming people into covenant relationship with God through Yeshua. And this brings us to my third point. What is the core of covenant life? We've talked about how God has made covenants through history and how this culminated in the new covenant through its mediator, Yeshua. But what exactly is a covenant? And how is it different than just a relationship in general? This is a very important question because it relates to how God treats us and how he expects us to treat him. After thinking about this question and doing a little research, I have come to the tentative conclusion that two Hebrew words express the core of what covenant relationships are all about. These two words are chesed. Let's all say chesed. Chesed. Very good. And emet. Emet. Chesed and emet. Very good. And if we change the and to va, the Hebrew word for va, we say chesed ve'emet. Chesed ve'emet. Chesed ve'emet. Very good. David, I think we need a song about chesed ve'emet. Chesed can be translated as loyal or steadfast love. And emet can be translated as faithfulness or truth. I believe that it is the combination of these two concepts, chesed ve'emet. Chesed ve'emet, loyal, steadfast love plus faithfulness and truth, that brings out the idea of covenant relationships. Let's look at a few examples of how these words are used in the Hebrew Bible. In Exodus chapter 34, we are told that the Lord revealed himself to Moses as a God characterized by chesed ve'emet. The Lord says, Adonai, Adonai, the compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger and abounding in chesed ve'emet, loyal love and faithfulness, keeping chesed, loyal love, for thousands. In Psalm chapter 25, we are told that chesed ve'emet is how God responds to those who keep his covenant. We're told all the ways of Adonai are chesed ve'emet. What does it say? Loving and faithful for those who keep the demands of his covenant. In Psalm chapter 89, God's chesed ve'emet is praised. We're told, I will sing of Adonai's great love, his chesed, forever. With my mouth, I will make your emet, your faithfulness, known through all generations. I will declare that your chesed, your loyal love, stands firm forever, that you established your emet, your faithfulness, in heaven itself. Chesed ve'emet, loyal love and faithfulness, characterize your rule. Isn't that beautiful? Let's all say that together, that last line. Loyal love and faithfulness characterize your rule. Now let's change that to the Hebrew. Chesed ve'emet, characterize your rule. One more time. Let's do the English. Loyal love and faithfulness characterize your rule. And then the Hebrew, chesed ve'emet, characterize your rule. I would like to suggest for your consideration that this concept of chesed ve'emet, loyal love and faithfulness, is at the heart of what it means for God to treat us covenantally. And if this is the case, then we are called to imitate God in how we respond covenantally to him and how we respond covenantally to each other. This would seem to be confirmed by Proverbs chapter 3, where we are told, "Do not let chesed ve'emet, loyal love and faithfulness, forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart, so you will find favor and good repute in the sight of God and of people." Let me read that one more time. Do not let chesed ve'emet, loyal love and faithfulness, forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart, so you will find favor and good repute in the sight of God and of people. To what degree do we display chesed ve'emet, loyal love and faithfulness, to the people whom the Lord has placed in our lives? To what degree do we display chesed ve'emet, loyal love and faithfulness, in our walk with the Lord? Let me share with you a story about chesed ve'emet. As I said, Harumi and I were married almost 25 years ago at Melech Yisrael Congregation in Toronto, Canada. After the wedding, a dear family asked us, well, first, this dear family invited my wife Harumi to stay with them for a few months because Harumi had to process her visa, and so she had to stay in Canada for a period of time, and they welcomed her into their home. And this family asked us if we would like to keep a slice of our wedding cake in their freezer so we could have it for our 1-year anniversary. Since we weren't very familiar with wedding customs, we said yes, and they graciously put it in their freezer. Well, once Harumi's visa was processed, she came to the United States. I was a happy man, and we completely forgot about the wedding cake. Then, about 1 year later, the family moved to a new house, and they called us to let us know that they took the cake with them in their refrigerator, and that we were welcome anytime to come and pick up the cake. Harumi and I were blown away by their faithful love and faithfulness, their loyal love and faithfulness. But since we were living in Maryland at the time and didn't have the money or the time to travel to Toronto, we did not come up to pick up the cake. As the years passed, we completely forgot about the cake. Then, about 10 years after we were married, the family called us up again to say that they were moving to a new house, and this time they would not be bringing their refrigerator. So if we wanted to pick up our wedding cake. Now was the time. Amazingly, this family had kept our wedding cake in their freezer for more than 10 years. Though I am not saying that this is what everyone should do, it was their way of expressing their steadfast love and faithfulness toward us. And it is something that Harumi and I have never forgotten. Covenant love and faithfulness can be expressed in many ways, and it is not always a piece of cake. Today we have talked about the centrality of the covenant, and I had 3 points. Number one, the God of Israel is a covenant-keeping God. Isn't that wonderful? Number two, Yeshua is the mitavech, the mediator of the new covenant, the middleman who brings us to Avinu Sheba Shemayim, our Father in heaven. And finally, number three, what is the core of covenant life? What is it? It is chesed ve'emet.